Acts chapter 2. I want to read several scriptures because it is essential to understand the message that Peter gives. These scriptures have to be taken into consideration. So Acts chapter 2, and look at verse 6. The Holy Spirit has come upon all that were in that room, and each, as the Spirit gave him utterance, was speaking in a tongue that he was unfamiliar with. And when that happened, verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own language wherein we were born?" And then he mentions all of these inhabitants of distant countries. And it says in verse 11, "We hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty works of God." And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." Now this is the answer. Please notice, they ask the question, "What does this mean? What is the meaning of this?" Verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel." Let me pause here a moment. There's some Old Testament scriptures that were foretold what was going to happen at specific times. And in Luke chapter 4, our Savior is reading from Isaiah 61. And when he gets through, he says, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And so now there is a prophecy also in the book of Joel chapter 2. And people are looking and listening to what's happening, and they say, "What does this mean?" And as the Lord Jesus said, "What's happening today is the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. So the Apostle Peter, when he's asked, "What does this mean? All the things that are happening here on the day of Pentecost." And verse 16, "But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, saith God, that I will pour forth my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days will I pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're familiar with any of the teachings of the prophecies of Scripture, what we've read here, that Peter says, "This is that," you're aware that it hasn't been fulfilled in its completeness. And because of that, rather than deny that what Peter said was correct, we have to look at other scriptures to see just how prophecy is dealt with and how Peter is using this portion in Joel 2 in relation with other scriptures. So turn to Mark 9, first of all. This is that, and yet it's evident that whereas it is suggested, it isn't that in its completeness. But in Mark chapter 9, and let's look at verse 11. The disciples are asking the Savior as he comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. They ask him, saying, how is it the scribes say that Elijah must first come? And he said unto them, Elijah indeed cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how is it written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things, and be said it not? But I say unto you that Elijah is come. And they have also done unto him whatsoever they would, even as it is written of him. Notice in verse 12, the Savior says concerning the future, Elijah indeed is going to come. He's going to come first and do everything that is prophesied. He's going to restore all things. But look at verse 13. But I say unto you that Elijah is come. So, Elijah, in spirit, is found in John the Baptist. And so when John the Baptist came, it could be said, Elijah has come. No contradiction. The Lord Jesus himself says, Elijah is come. But now, look at verse 12. He said unto them, Elijah indeed cometh first and restoreth all things. What happened was, in a partial way, John the Baptist, in the spirit and power of Elijah, came, and he restored much that needed restoration in Israel. He preached the baptism of repentance, and multitudes came and submitted to his baptism. But that wasn't the complete restoration that is going to take place in the future, when the actual Elijah is going to come and restore all things. There is a law in Scripture called that of double reference. You have, first of all, an initial fulfillment of a prophecy, and then you have the ultimate fulfillment of a prophecy. And that the initial fulfillment doesn't mean that that prophecy is to be set aside, it's done with. It means that initially it has been fulfilled, but ultimately it is going to be completely fulfilled. And that is what we have in Mark 9 concerning Elijah, in John the Baptist, and Elijah who is going to come, and what we have in Joel 2 as we have it fulfilled, in Acts chapter 2, and as it's going to ultimately and completely be fulfilled, as we find in the other prophecies in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation. So let me show you what has happened now. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Remember, this is that. Do not say that Joel 2 isn't that, any more than you look at John the Baptist and say, he is not Elijah. The Lord Jesus says, this is Elijah. So this is that, in that sense, in an initial sense, but not ultimately. But now look, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and listen to this verse. It says in verse 11, now these things happened unto them, all the experiences of Israel in the Old Testament, by way of example, and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. The ends of the ages are come. Why, this age hasn't even been completed. But it says that the ends of the ages are come. And so in some sense, the end age is here. Now turn to Hebrews 6. And look at verse 4. For, as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come. Please notice, there are some that the author of Hebrews is talking about who in this age have already tasted the powers of the age to come. What does it mean? It means this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 21. And then we'll think and try to put all these things together. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Paul says, Now, he that establisheth us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Put it in language that you can understand. An earnest of something is a down payment. It's the guarantee that what you have paid down will, at a future date, be paid completely. And we read that the coming of the Spirit of God is the promise that the Father made of the Spirit. But please notice, what it speaks of in Joel chapter 2 is not the ultimate realization of all that God has promised, but I've read you here and I can show you in two other instances where it says we have the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. If someone is going to buy your home for $10,000 and he comes and gives you $1,000, would you be satisfied and say to him, now, the home is yours? You say, of course not. That's just an earnest. That's a down payment. I'm waiting for the other $9,000 that he must pay before this home is completely his. And this is what God tells us. He tells us that Joel 2 is an earnest of the Spirit because the Spirit in His fullness and all the prophecies that God tells us about in the Old Testament were not fulfilled. If they were, we would not read that God gave us the earnest of the Spirit. He would have given us the fullness of the Spirit. But it says He gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Now turn to Ephesians 1. Starting at verse 13, in whom ye also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of His glory. Please notice, we have the Holy Spirit, but it is an earnest of our inheritance. just as if you were given $1,000 as an earnest payment, a down payment, you would expect the rest at a future date. Inasmuch as God in Joel chapter 2 tells of the giving of the Spirit, from the other scriptures that I've read to you and we place them together, we may honestly and fairly say that what Joel speaks of is an earnest of the Spirit. John the Baptist coming is an earnest of the promise of God. And all the things that happened on the day of Pentecost were but small expressions and illustrations of what is going to ultimately and completely happen in the coming day. And for that reason, turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 2. And look at verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established upon the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many persons shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations, and will decide concerning many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now, has that been fulfilled? You say, no. Right now, weapons of mass destruction are being built. Nations secretly are trying to not beat swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. What they're trying to do is to take natural resources and turn them into weapons of destruction. Turn to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Speaking of the coming of the Lord, there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Here is the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 6. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now, in all fairness, if Joel 2 and all the promises of God were fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, then I do not look forward to anything with great hope and expectations. I see something that is just mentioned that is in a very small way, in a temporary way, in a partial way, has been fulfilled by God. But that's the end of it. And what happened on the day of Pentecost hasn't happened to the same degree up until now, and therefore, the great power that's supposed to be in the church, what has happened to it? Instead of getting more power, instead of all the nations knowing about the things of God, I find that this nation and England and the other nations are learning less and less about the things of God. And there is less of the fear of God. And yet, understand this. Now turn back to Acts 2. But you had to have all those things in mind to fairly consider just what is meant by Peter saying, this is that. Yes, Joel 2 and what happened on the day of Pentecost is an earnest of the promises of God, an earnest of our inheritance, and an earnest of what is going to take place when the Lord Jesus comes back and establishes his earthly kingdom. At that time, it says, all the nations are going to speak one language. There is going to be peace, and at the same time, everybody will know the things of the Lord. What is so beautiful is that at that time, not just a gift here and a gift there, as in 1 Corinthians 12, but look, in chapter 2, verse 17, I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all flesh. The only ones upon whom the Spirit of God was poured at that time were those that belonged to Christ. It was not poured upon the nation of Israel as a whole. It was poured upon a few. But in a future day, the Spirit is going to be poured forth upon all flesh. And the ability to teach and preach and prophesy and praise God, it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. It doesn't mean that the old men, such as myself, are going to sit around and go to sleep and have pleasant dreams. But just as God showed visions, also, when the Old Testament prophets went to sleep, they had dreams that spoke of God. And in the coming day, young and old, male and female, are going to be blessed of God. And it says, he will pour forth of his Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth beneath. Now, the only thing that I can think as to the fulfillment of this, according to the phenomena of nature, is this. When the Lord Jesus was crucified, from 12 to 3 o'clock, the sun was completely darkened. The eyes of man did not see the light of the sun. And so it says here, the sun shall be darkened, and it says, the moon shall turn into blood. I was reading, and I'll tell you this for the sake of time. You and I do not believe that God extinguished the sun for 3 hours when Christ died on the cross. He made it so that the sun refused to shine upon the deed of the crucifixion of his son. And God is not going to take that moon and literally turn it into blood. But just as in the Old Testament, when kings were coming to fight against Israel, they looked upon the water and they saw a reflection and they thought that that water was red blood. And because of that, their deception, their misconception, Israel came and conquered that foreign nation. So I take it that that's what is meant. If you ask, can God cause the sun to completely be extinguished? Of course he can. He who brought it into existence and caused it to burn can extinguish that flame. And he can turn the moon into blood if he wants to. But something of these phenomena did take place when Christ was crucified, but they're going to ultimately take place, as you'll find in Revelation chapter 6. Let's just look at that a moment, because what took place on the day of Pentecost is going to repeat itself to a greater degree in the last days. Verse 12 of chapter 6 of Revelation. And I saw when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became as blood. That's what we read in Joel chapter 2. It's like this. Our Savior was raised on the third day. It says in Scripture, after 3 days. And it says also on the third day. We find out from reading Luke 24 that he was raised on the third day, even though you have words that seem to mean something different, because Cleopas and his companion said, this is now the third day. And so in like manner, you have various expressions told us in the Word of God, and you have to read them in abundance and then see just what it means. Like this, it says that Israel is going to be as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of heaven. I've heard that in our little galaxy, there are so many billions of stars that you couldn't count them. And think of the billions and billions of galaxies. And it says Israel is going to be as the stars and as the sand of the sea. You say, well, eventually it could be that way. This is what it says in the Word of God itself. It says in the days of Solomon that Israel was as the sand of the seashore. You say, now I understand what it means. It means great in number. An abundance of Israelites, why, of course. Now, as to whether God could do it, of course. But it means that Israel is going to be in abundance. So taking these things into consideration, what happened in Acts chapter 2 was the earnest of our inheritance, the earnest of the prophecies that are ultimately going to be fulfilled in the latter days. And in the early church, there was miraculous power, the Spirit of God enabling men to speak languages they never knew of. The Apostle Paul was given revelations concerning the church and what was going to happen and the coming of the Lord Jesus in details when he shall descend from heaven with a shout. All of those things were given then, but it says, now we know in part and we prophesy in part. But then shall we know fully, even as also we were fully known. And it says, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And so on the day of Pentecost, the miraculous power of God did occur, and his Spirit being poured upon all the flesh in that room is a small picture of how in the coming day the enemies of God will be obliterated and the earth cleared of all who do not confess Christ as Savior at the beginning of the millennium, and all of them will have the Spirit of God, and all of them will be miraculously endowed. And so this is an earnest of the Spirit. This is like John the Baptist being Elijah, an Elijah that's going to come. This is a little preview of what shall ultimately come to pass in the latter days. And that's enough, so let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that you have not deceived us into thinking that though momentous and miraculous on the day of Pentecost, what happened, this little bit isn't going to be all that you promised. If this is the promise of your Spirit, our God, then it is not worthy of an infinite God and a God who has told us of the things that shall happen in the future. But our God, as you've told us of the coming of your Son, how marvelous it was that he came the first time. But our God, it shall be more marvelous when he comes again. And so we thank you for all the exceeding great and precious promises that you've given us, To everyone that's been fulfilled, we thank you. And in hope and confidence, we look to thee for the future, that all of them shall be fulfilled. Let us rejoice, our God, with what we have now. The Spirit of God within us, baptized into the body of Christ, knowing that we pass from death to life, our Father, empowered in a small measure, and able to overcome the evils in this world, as in a coming day we shall be able to overcome them completely, and we are a little bit like the Lord Jesus now, but then we shall be like him completely, because we'll see him as he is. So our Father, encourage our hearts from reading about this earnest of the Spirit, and let us wait in hope and not be discouraged till Jesus come, in whose name we pray. Amen. Meeting is over.